This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington, presented by EMP180 Weight Loss Structure Accountability Results, the standard for weight loss in the area. It's EMP180weightloss.com. Happy to be joined in studio by Brian Lawton, a guy who played in the NHL.
Wow.
Kind of interestingly, then became an agent and a GM, and now you work for the NHL Network, NHL Now, NHL Tonight. You've been covering the Stanley Cup Final.
Not only did he play in the NHL, he was the first U.S.-born player drafted first overall
in the
NHL
draft.
That's
pretty
draft.
Big. What year were
pretty
you?
Pretty big.
I don't ever say that, but I wanted to go to the White House, and I was trying to give myself some credibility with the CIA. I was talking to him yesterday about it, because the guy said, are you American? I was like, yeah, I'm American. You can look it up.
So yeah, that's when you
still didn't get into the White House.
That's when you try to break out that nugget.
How old were you?
The only time I've ever brought it out.
How old were you when you were drafted?
18
years old.
I was technically 17, I guess. I was drafted before my 18th birthday.
Wow. 1-1 overall. What sort of pressure is that like for, you know, a 17, 18-year-old kid drafted number one overall by Minnesota? They have to expect you to be like franchise savior. I mean, that has to be a lot for a 17 or 18-year-old kid to process.
Yeah, it was tough. I was a real average player in the league. I played 500 games, but still just an average player. And when you're selected first like that, there's a tremendous amount of pressure, more than I realized. I mean, I came from high school where I was playing against 14-year-old kids you know, 9 months earlier. Then I was playing in the NHL. And, of course, back at that time in the history of the NHL, Bobby Carpenter, who was a friend of mine 2 years older than me, was drafted 2 years before me by the Washington Capitals, third overall, and he had done fantastic.
So I put pressure.
Yeah, so it was even more pressure. Phil Housley was the year before, another guy we all know now coaching the Buffalo Sabres, was sixth.
What was your path, though? So after you're drafted, then what was your route?
I played in the NHL.
No, but I mean, any minors and any of that? Like, how did that work?
No, not my first year. My second year, I ended up in the minors because it wasn't going that well.
Wow. Yeah. So right off the bat.
Yeah, and that was tough. When you're a kid, it's hard to process that
stuff. Plus, how do you fit in the locker room? Like you said, you're in high school,
several months later,
you have 35-year-old men on your team.
Yeah, very awkward. And part of the difficulties, Brian McClellan, of course, the general manager of the Washington Capitals, was not there my first couple years. I think he came my third year when I was there. We were teammates. But Minnesota had merged with Cleveland, so it was a very old team at the time. The closest player to me was Brian Bellows, who was only a year older. But after that, the next guy was like 25. And then a lot of the guys
which
were
is a
28.
Huge chasm. Huge when guy. You're 18 years old, somebody who's 25 seems so old.
Yeah, no, it seemed miles apart. Almost all the players had children. And
plus, is there resentment from the older players? Oh, number one hot shot, number one overall pick.
Yeah, did you get a big bonus?
I got a big bonus back then, which would not be very big today. $200,000 is more money than
that. We're set for a ratings bonus in a few weeks. If they give us a $200,000 bonus, oh my God.
I might quit. I got a $200,000 bonus.
In the world of sports, it's obviously.
Right, new, yeah.
But I came from a very modest to poor family. But there was just a lot of complications. People did not like American players back then. It was about 85% Canadians. Neil Broughton was on our team also, but it was a difficult environment. But ultimately, and I want to be really clear because people always ask me this, you know, the responsibility of how I did and all that stuff, that's on me. That's not on it. They didn't like America. That's
right.
To some degree, that's white noise.
Yeah.
You know,
your parents move to Minnesota with you, or did you live by yourself or with another player?
I lived with a family, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, the team helped me to find me a family, which was a wonderful gesture, and they were an amazing family. They had lost their daughter to cancer about a year before, and then I moved into their family. They're still friends to this day. And that was really great, except I was a kid that lived about 22 miles from the rink.
Wow.
And that was too far for a young guy who just, you know, had enough trouble just getting up, like anybody that has children out there that are 17.
Right, teenagers 18. Will sleep till 11.
Yes.
Well, were you having fun? I mean, was it fun?
I had a lot of fun. But in hindsight, I wish I had gone and played in college for a year or two.
Right.
I really do. I always say that. People ask me just to grow up, you know, in two ways, obviously, maturity wise, but physically as well.
Now,
I was really, really light.
I bet,
finished
my
first year at 168 pounds, I remember.
Wow.
And people would see me at the end of the year. They'd be like, have you been sick? No, I've just been playing in the NHL this year. Right. It's a grind.
I bet.
So McClellan was one of your teammates, and you were a GM for a few years, right?
Yep.
In Tampa?
In Tampa, correct.
Did you know that McClellan was always, like, that was his path? Like, this guy is going to be a great GM someday.
I did. When Brian retired, he was looking for a job, and him and I are pretty good friends, and he'd called me, and I said, I want to help you. I know some people. Brian wanted to be an analyst. That's his true. Very analytical guy.
Mm-hmm.
Somewhat introverted. You know, he doesn't want to be the star of the show or anything like that. That's probably the least comfortable thing for him as a general manager. But he's very analytical. So I actually went on him with his first job interview. Mm-hmm. I set it up with somebody that was very close to me, and I went and sat in.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll never forget this, and Mac will kill me for saying this story, but we walked out of there, and I said, Mac, you were terrible in there. You were absolutely. I mean, Mac's he's a super good guy. He's funny, big presence. He's a big man. He just is so humble that he couldn't sell himself.
Uh-huh.
He couldn't do it.
What are those meetings like? Because we always hear these stories in the NFL, for example. In the NFL, there'll be a two-day meeting sometimes to hire a head coach. I'm like, what are they doing? Going through every play in the playbook?
Well, obviously.
It's getting to know them.
Yeah. I mean, as far as what happened here, I mean, obviously George was let go. And George was a tremendous general manager for the Washington Capitals. He's a good friend as well. And you know, he'd been here a long, long time, and eventually Ted, Dick, Patrick obviously felt like they needed a change. And I don't think the original plan was to hire Brian, who was the assistant general manager at that time. I think that all these years later, to finish that story off, I have to imagine that Brian went in and
killed the interview.
He killed it. He was really transparent. He was much more aggressive probably than he'd ever been. And Ted and Dick recognize that and hired him. And it's been a great hire because he immediately, what happens a lot of times when the person below you gets hired is they have different thoughts. But in hockey, it's almost like the military. Mm. You know, you do what you're supposed to do and you may challenge authority behind closed doors, but it's always one team, one goal. And I think Brian had some different ideas. If you guys recall, he signed Brooks Orpik immediately and Matt Niskanen.
Which was very controversial here in D.C.
It was.
The money was big, and Orpik especially was getting up there in years.
Exactly. And it was risky.
There's a lot of outcry from Caps fans about that signing. I remember it.
It was risky, but I asked him about it afterwards, and he just said, look, he felt like that was a weakness of the club that they hadn't addressed firmly enough. And, of course, they've played tremendous.
Why do you think this year has been the breakthrough year for them? Because this was supposed to be the down year.
I have a theory about that, and I believe that because they have gone younger, right? They've had tremendous teams, better teams on paper than this team.
Mm-hmm.
And yet here they are in the finals, something they haven't done since 1998 when my good buddy Ron Wilson was the coach.
Yep.
And I was an agent and had lots of players on that team, Simon and Brian Bellows was here, all these guys.
How's Chris Simon doing, by the way?
Chris is doing okay. Doing
that doesn't sound. That sounds
Wow. Whoa! It took a turn.
Wow!
Right. So anyhow, when Brian signed those guys, it was controversial, but that's what he felt they really needed, and that's what really turned their fortunes around. As far as this year, why are they doing so well this year when maybe they're not as good on paper? I believe it's the youth and enthusiasm. It's a couple of things, but it's the youth and enthusiam of some of the younger players.
Verana,
just giving those guys a chance to play. I think in some ways, Alex Ovechkin has figured out. 5 years ago, if Alex Ovechkin played the minutes that he's playing right now in the series, he was fifth last game in that winning effort in game two, fifth amongst forwards on the Washington team. I think that might have been a problem for the Washington Capitals, and I think Alex Ovechkin, rightly so, as a tremendous leader, because he is, has figured out that it's better if I'm maybe fifth and we win than if I'm first and we lose. And that's the right way to look at it. Alex is a winger. The guy has been money his whole career. I'm so happy for him to be here because he deserves the credit. He hasn't really gotten it because they haven't won the big one yet. But it was unjustified.
You see how badly he wants it, too. You could just see it right on his face.
He's an absolute game changer out there. But as a winger, the way he plays, he shouldn't be your top forward. That's hard for fans maybe to digest. It's definitely hard for coaches to manage. That's your star player. But I don't. The one thing about Alex is he's the happiest guy at the rink when they win. And I've played with guys that they were the happiest guy at the rink if we lost 10-7, but they had two goals. That's not Alex Ovechkin. He wants to win. And I think there's been an evolution there. And then I think just the very small, minute move that it appeared to be at the deadline of adding Michael Kempe to their decor has been huge. I really think it solidified their decor. And they've looked
when you look at these two teams, and we've kind of debated this over the last couple of days, which do you, would you agree that the Capitals, player for player, are more talented than Vegas?
I would agree that they have the better higher-end players. I don't know about player for player, though. Vegas is just, you know, I mean, just think about the concept that they have everybody's, supposedly they're supposed to have.
Everyone's cast-offs.
Yeah.
Everybody's fourth best D. That's what they're supposed to have. That's the way the expansion draft was set up. And some teams, quite frankly, misevaluated their guys, clearly. It's the biggest mistake that organizations make, and yet it happens all the time. Misevaluating your own players.
Well, the Caps gave up Nate Schmidt. It was a good player.
You know, people were talking about. They knew they were giving up a good player, though.
They had to.
That's the guy who's been covering Alex in the first two games, like 80% of the time he's been out on the ice.
Right, and I know Nate. He's from Minnesota. He's a good guy. He's reached a much higher ceiling. So yeah, you could put that in there. I would suggest the Capitals thought that they were going to lose Grubauer.
Right.
Yeah, that's what they thought, and Vegas just did a tremendous job. I mean. That was a big pickup for them. But somebody asked me the other day, who would be the MVP for Vegas? So I started naming the general managers that gave up the best players. I can tell you the Washington Capitals were not in the top five list. I mean, I look at Florida, I look at Shea Theodore, I look at Columbus with Wild Bill Carlson. These guys have been incredible. So, you know, at the end of the day, I think the National Hockey League made a really strong statement in saying we're no longer going to stuff our expansion teams down. It's bad for business if they stink for 5 years.
If Seattle gets a team, it'll be the same format, right?
I would be absolutely shocked if it's not exactly the same.
All right, Brian Lawton's hanging out with us. We're talking Stanley Cup Final. We'll get more predictions from Brian next right here on The Fan.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
NBC Sports Washington at noon today at Farragut Square. They're going to be with a pretty famous trophy. It's called the Stanley Cup. So if you want to go and see the Stanley Cup, maybe get your picture taken with it. Don't touch it. Okay, don't touch the Stanley Cup.
Why not?
But get your picture taken with
it. The radio guys can touch the Stanley Cup. Come on.
Really?
Come on.
I thought it was bad form for anybody to touch the Stanley Cup unless they've won the Stanley Cup.
That may be reserved only for players.
Yeah, yeah, you're
just
a guy.
I'm just saying.
Okay. I'm just saying.
I'll lean on Brian Lawton over me, of course. That's a superstition anyway. Just, I was happy Ovi touched the trophy in the last round.
I embrace it. I wrap my arms around superstition. I love it.
I have never touched the Stanley Cup.
Is that right?
Well, that is true.
What's the biggest game you played in?
My first year, believe it or not, we made it to the Western Conference Finals. Mm. And we lost to the Edmonton Oilers 4 straight.
Right.
And I'll never forget the final game. We were winning 4-1, and this is back. Teams barely chartered back then. And we're winning 4-1 going in the third period. We had to fly back to Edmonton. And we knew we weren't going to win this series. And I remember sitting in the locker room looking around going, there's no way we're going to go out and win this game. We lost in regulation 5-4.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, my God. Wow. Like,
you knew they were coming back. That's incredible.
I couldn't believe it. I was a kid.
You guys are mostly on them. Like, when you say you knew that you weren't flying back to Edmonton, did you just realize Edmonton was going to turn it up, or you figured your veterans were going to tank?
I wasn't feeling the vibe in the locker room. Let's put it that way.
All right. And Yari Curry went nuts or someone like that.
Evaluate this series for us. Here we are, you know, 2 games into it. What did you think going in, and what do you think now as we've seen 2 games?
Going in, I thought it would be a 7-game series, and through 2 games, I haven't seen anything to change my mind on that. It's much more even than we thought. It's been interesting for me to watch Vegas deal with something they haven't had to deal with all year long, which is kind of remarkable considering they won the Pacific.
Mm-hmm.
And,
which is
and
what?
Had 51 wins, and that is that they were the underdog every series.
Right.
You know, they were. So now they finally get here and they get picked to beat Washington.
Right. They're the favorite. Right.
And I was looking at the lines.
The money.
I was looking at the lines. They were minus 160.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They were pretty big favorites. That's significant.
Yeah. So they've had to kind of deal with that. And I watched what it did to Nashville this year. Last year, Nashville was the eighth seed. They played really well down the stretch, but they were still the last team into the playoffs last year. They were the underdog the entire way, and they rode that all the way to the final series against Pittsburgh. This year, Nashville was favored, and it looked like it weighed on them a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been curious to see how Vegas would deal with that. Washington, on the other hand, I thought that they could get some things accomplished offensively. I saw that in the first game. It was much tighter in the second game, but I don't see how this doesn't certainly go 6 and most likely 7 games, and either team is capable of winning right now. It hasn't been stamped that Vegas is definitely going to win or that the Capitals are definitely going to win. I think it's wide open.
I think so, too. Are you surprised that they've been able to score 7 on Fleury, who had a crazy save percentage heading into the series?
Yeah, Mark used to be in my firm when I was an agent. He's a great guy. I spoke to one of the other agents the other day that was a former goalie, Mike Liute, about Mark, because I know he was at the last game against Winnipeg, and he met with Mark afterwards. And Mark's just been in the zone. We chatted. I said, I know he's been in the zone, but a human being cannot keep up this level.
Right.
Puck luck, things like that are going to change. And I saw some of that in the first game. I give the Capitals a lot of credit, but when you see Marc-Andre Fleury throwing one in off his own pad,
right,
that just didn't happen in the first 3 series.
Mm-hmm.
None of that stuff went against them. When you see Brooks Orpik last game come down, take a shot, it catches a guy's elbow and finds its way to the back of the net. Those things weren't happening. And at the network, whenever I see streaks like this, I always say there's going to be a regression to the mean.
It's the do theory. We've come up with the do theory.
The do theory. I don't know what that is here, but I know that you guys would be tremendously algorithmic.
Well thought out.
You
know, same thing with Holtby. Holtby had, 150 straight minutes without giving up a goal, and then he gave up four or five in game one.
Right. It's going to change. It's just the way it is. It was incredible.
Kind of, what kind of tweaks have you seen? Like maybe things that we're not recognizing?
For me, for the Washington Capitals, the thing that really impressed me that they did better than anybody else is they were able to get through the neutral zone. Vegas likes to flush you to make it first pass, and then everybody attacks it. And when we cut tape, which we do all the time at the network, it's more uncommon not to have 5 guys in the video. And when you do that with the other teams, you know, there'll be 2 or 3 guys in there. And a team that's really good in the neutral zone might have 4 guys kind of closing in on the area. But Vegas always has 5. It's almost like think about 5 on a dice. We'll use a Vegas reference, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's tight. and everybody's configured properly in the neutral zone, which is really hard to do because players don't like to get beat in the neutral zone. It can be really embarrassing.
Yeah, I mean, that leaves you awfully vulnerable, I would think.
Totally vulnerable.
Right.
But the one thing that Vegas has done better than anybody else all year long, and I've been surprised they've been able to continue it through the playoffs, is that their back pressure has been better than anybody else. They always have that support coming so that if you do get beat, there's somebody right there to cut off the player.
Mm-hmm.
And not much happens. So I think Washington has done an excellent job of beating that in the neutral zone, getting pucks deep, and then getting in on the forecheck and not allowing. Vegas has the simplest breakout in the National Hockey League. Get the puck. If you don't have a clear-cut, easy first pass, you are to turn and fire it off the boards of glass to the neutral zone, and we will come underneath it as a group and chase it down.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't successful doing that.
Joined in studio by Brian Lawton, former NHL player, agent, GM. You can watch him on NHL Now and also NHL Tonight. NHL Now airs at 4 p.m. Kind of want your perspective. You know, we obviously are biased on Tom Wilson.
Yep.
And what you see from Tom Wilson, clearly a guy who plays on the edge.
My joke answer is Michael Caine in Dirty Rotten Scoundrel. But that's not what I think of Tom.
I think Tom.
That's an oldie but a goodie. I
kind of remember. That's an oldie but a goodie. No, Tom Wilson plays the game hard. He's right on the edge. He definitely has players aware when he's out there. And there's not that many guys in the league that do it. More skilled than you think. He was a first-round pick. He's been a really valuable guy for the Washington Capitals. Do I see things at times that I think are dangerous that he does? Absolutely. And there's a lot of other players that would agree with me. Could the league clamp down on him a little more? I suppose they could. That's up to them.
Mm-hmm.
I just think he's a guy that's always on the edge. He's a guy that's very well liked in the locker room. I don't hear a lot of guys complaining about him on other teams.
Oh, really?
May not like him, but it's almost like there's a respect.
They do respect him.
They'd love to have a guy like that on their squad.
Yeah, like as
I'm
a GM, put your GM hat on here. Like when he becomes a free agent, you're going to want that guy on your team if you can fit him in cap-wise. And
I mean, he's not just a goon. He's got skills.
Right. He's got skills. I can't think of one team that would say, no, I'm not going to sign that guy.
Right, right.
If you were an unrestricted free agent, every team would want to sign him.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Have you heard, sort of behind the scenes, what the rumblings are on the Kuzi injury?
I have not heard yet, and I'm dying to get over to practice this morning.
When you see the replay and the way he's holding it, what jumps out at you?
Well, the first thing I would say is that I know Barry wanted to have the league look at it. I didn't see anything that I thought was suspendable in the hit.
I didn't see anything bad.
You know, we always call it the way we see it. And, mm-hmm. and I just didn't see anything in the hit. My suspicion was somehow his wrist got turned and his elbow got locked and he jammed it. But that's only a guess.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, I'm dying to get over there this morning and see if we can find out.
If it's that, if it's just the wrist getting jammed or something, that's overcomable.
Yes.
Right? That we can do that. But as someone said, if it's a fractured collarbone or something like that, we're cooked. That's not good.
Right.
He'll be gone.
Right.
If it dislocated, you could wear a harness. You could get him back out there.
That's exactly correct. We can string a harness on there and
tighten
and lock it down. And guys have done things
like
that. But you know
what? Rush Machine Never Breaks had a picture of him getting off the plane and said he did not have any sort of a sling on. He would just get a backpack on.
That's good.
Yeah. He didn't have any kind
of a
bandage.
That's a good sign.
Yeah, my suspicion was it was hand or wrist, but I don't know that. And I think we'll find out more. But the good news for the Capitals is that Lars Eller
played great.
He's been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
but if he stays
outside of his
penalty
five penalties in two games.
When the Washington Capitals re-signed Lars to the deal that they signed, I think it was $17.5 million for 5 years, people were like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Third line center? But the Washington Capitals knew a little bit more than everybody else, I think, and they believe that he has a little bit. That's really high for his role. It's not terribly high, but it's a little high, and it's certainly long in term. But at the end of the day, he's capable of stepping up, as we saw when Backstrom was out, and filling in offensively. And he did it again in Game 2 when Kuznetsov was out.
Was Eller in Montreal before?
Yes.
He was. He was drafted by St. Louis, traded to Montreal.
Did they kind of misevaluate him?
They
or
did.
Does he fit better here than there? Or?
He fits better here. He's one of those guys, if he's on a weaker team, he's not necessarily going to carry them. So he's going to look worse. When he's on a strong team like the Caps and he's doing his role as well as he does it, because he is excellent as that third line center that can shut down anybody, that can contribute a little bit offensively. He had his best offensive year, I believe, this year. But he's been through the roof in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm. You've been a number one overall player. You've been mm-hmm. an agent. You've been a GM. Mm-hmm. You're now the NHL Network analyst.
Yeah.
So you know everybody.
I'm coming for radio next.
All right. We're vulnerable. My question is, who are your friends? And you know everybody.
Right.
Who are they rooting for? Are they rooting for the expansion team to come in there, a cheap 1 year, win a trip? Come on. Or are they rooting for the Caps? What's the rest of the league?
I'll give you the honest answer from all my friends. First off, in terms of notoriety and what Vegas has done, it is through the roof. It was in Europe recently, and I was just randomly asking people. I was actually at a hotel, so I was just over there briefly for another company that we talked about, you guys.
Right.
And in my hotel was Sidney Crosby. Mm. All right, I run into Sid mm-hmm. down in the lobby. And him and I had a nice conversation. He wanted me to give him something for dinner. I came back and I said, I got to leave something for Sidney Crosby. No idea who Sid was over there, right? Can't find his room. No idea who he is when I bring it up. I start asking everybody about hockey after that. And everybody knew about Vegas. Mm. This was in London. I was shocked at the notoriety that Vegas has brought the National Hockey League. Now, it might have been because I think they had Leicester City in the British Premier League and the Soccer League a few years ago, and
was the same deal, yeah.
It was a similar story. Yeah. So I think that is echoed throughout America. Everybody knows about Vegas and what a great story it is. So I think people are really rooting. In the hockey industry, people are really rooting for Alex Ovechkin. Mm. He's just a really good guy.
He's almost unanimously, what's the word, Kate?
Universally loved.
Loved, right?
He really, truly is. And he's earned it. Ovi's, I wouldn't say he's a saint in the world.
Of course.
But he's been a really great ambassador for the game.
Well, this is for the NHL, this is a great matchup because of what you just said. I mean, Washington, big market, Vegas, that story.
Yeah. I will be thrilled for whoever wins. Honestly and genuinely.
Someone's texting in here and he wants me to ask you, do you think that the Caps Penn series would have been different if Pittsburgh hadn't traded Ryan Reeves to Vegas?
No.
No.
I don't.
There's your answer, buddy.
Yeah. I just don't. I think Ryan Reeves has done an excellent job with Vegas. It's been fairly limited, right? Because he wasn't really playing. Mm-hmm. But then when he stepped in and he's been effective. He certainly was effective in the series before for the one game where he mm-hmm. scored. And he's been effective in this series.
Yeah,
I've actually really liked
cross-checked John Carlson down the ice and scored a cheap goal.
Right. Well, they cheated. Remember,
they cheated.
To get them a win.
I could find a clip of TJ Oshie cross-checking somebody down the other end exactly the same, but it was not a goal. That's the difference.
I'd rather you not find that clip. But that's fine.
That's right.
The thing that concerns us as Caps fans is that Washington, for whatever reason, hasn't been very strong. There's not this home ice advantage. They're 4-5 at home in the playoffs, and hopefully tomorrow night that place is going to be alive. That they can kind of carry on that momentum. But
is that just a fluky thing, or is that a mindset thing?
I think it's fluky because I've been to obviously many, many games here, and mostly regular season though. And
it's a great
amazing, it's an amazing atmosphere for mm-hmm. a regular season game. I can't really wrap my head around why they.
Well, no, I think
done
the fans generally they do their part, of course. But maybe the guys, maybe there's a mindset, maybe a comfort, you know, maybe a little too comfortable at home.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no,
is that possible?
It is possible. Yeah. It absolutely is possible. And when you see that stuff, then as a management team, you start to think about crazy things that we have to change. Like, oh my gosh, it's the kids at home, it's the distractions. We got to put these guys in a hotel. What are we doing on the road that works so well? So I'm curious to see if they make any changes for this, because that is a significantly enough poor record to be in the finals,
mm-hmm. right?
You know, at home. You don't.
By the way,
what's
your prediction with Coach Trotz? Because to us, it's very strange that a guy would be this successful for 4 years to be playing, to be coaching now without a contract. He's got his team in the Stanley Cup final. What do you think happens?
Well, the first thing I would say is that this is the best job I've ever seen Barry Trotz do coaching-wise. I think he's been at his absolute best. If I looked at this season, and you had asked me early on when the Caps did not play well.
Mm-hmm. Right, first 20 games.
I thought Barry might get let go at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the team recognized it, and I really felt that they rallied around him because they just went on a tear after that really slow
start. It seems like the guys respond to him. It seems like they do like him.
He is very well liked. He is he is a tremendous human being. But I also think from a management standpoint, you could look and say, geez, we've had some really good teams on paper.
Right.
But prior to this year, we had not gotten over the hump. And we've tried everything. We've tried going out and getting the best guy available at the trade deadline.
Shattenkirk.
Mm-hmm. Shattenkirk. We tried doing nothing. You know, we've tried it all. We're out of trial and error. And the reality is in professional sports is you're going to look at everything. And I think they just decided to let's run this thing out and see what happens. If they had lost to Pittsburgh, then it would have been my suspicion that Barry definitely would not be back. The fact that they've won and they're still playing, it's still possible that he may not be back because Barry could decide that I'm just going to go.
If you had to bet, though, what are you betting?
If I was betting, I would say that
big fat contract and he returns.
I would say that Barry Trotz has enhanced his position significantly. and if he wants to come back, he'll come back. If he doesn't want to come back, that I can't say.
Yeah, exactly.
Barry Trotz has been coaching for a long time, guys.
By the way, you were just talking about the Vegas odds. According to my site, Vegas still a slight favorite to win the series. Slight.
Yeah, still.
Minus 115.
Yeah. You know, they lost
so they're down.
Yep, a little bit.
Yeah.
All right, hey, thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
My pleasure, guys.
Brian Lawton, great, you can watch him on NHL Network, NHL Tonight. Thank you very much for joining us. We'll be right back. Don't forget, tomorrow you can join the Junks at the Brig in Southeast D.C. for our Game 3 watch party. It starts at 7 p.m. Rock the red and cheer on our boys in their pursuit of a title, presented by Sam Adams. Details at thefandc.com/events. So if you don't have a ticket to see Caps Knights, come down and hang out with me and EB. We will be at the Brig starting at 7 p.m. It's in Southeast, right near Navy Yard.
Presented by Sam Adams.
Correct. I got a DM from a listener that had moved to Bradenton, Florida, relatively recently, I think. His name's Matt Baer. He runs a custom T-shirt company. And he says...
The name is?
It's Big Frog Custom T-Shirts and More.
Big Frog.
So bigfrog.com if you want more info. So he's like, give me your sizes. And I was skeptical at first. I was like, they're probably going to be awful T-shirts. But I'll give you the sizes anyway.
Is this a Skits and Bits T-shirt?
It turns out it is because we got the package today and I opened it up and I was cringing. I was like, they're probably going to be awful. But I think I was pleasantly surprised by the content of the box and some of the T-shirt content. First is the Valdez. It's just sports.
Nice.
Right here. That's
perfect
your
for you,
A.
Valdez.
Don't take sports too seriously. That's Valdez's mantra. That's one. And then you've got the Buttgeist hashtag.
Buttgeist.
So he sent that. And my personal favorite.
I would do this in redskin color.
This is the one seed.
All right.
This is the go-to right here.
Ovechensky.
Ovechensky.
Going to make it do what it do.
Ovechensky's going to make it do what it do.
Going to make it do what it do. So thank you,
like
Matt Baer.
He's
a Junks P1. Thank you for sending the T-shirts.
Is there an extra Ovechensky?
Oh,
I think
bunch.
That would be my favorite.
There's a bunch over here. So thank
I don't
you
think
for
I can wear Buttgeist.
We do appreciate that.
It's funny. Can you actually wear Buttgeist?
I think you can. Why wouldn't you?
Why?
I don't know.
Well, you feel like it's a little like inappropriate?
Little bit.
Ah, who cares?
Well, it's pretty mild.
I agree. It's pretty mild. But
pretty mild.
I wouldn't want to be wearing it and then somebody ask me and you got to go through the whole explanation.
There's a Seist for Geist in there, too.
There is?
Yeah.
Let me see that one.
There's an assortment.
Why don't you wear those? Why don't you wear those at the Brig tomorrow?
Might have to. Might have to wear the Ovechensky tee tomorrow.
I think the Brig will be a good time. I think there'll be a decent amount of people too.
Absolutely will.
Because who has like $1,000 laying around? You want two people? It's $2,000 to go to a game, and that'll get you a mediocre seat.
I looked up on SeatGeek an hour ago.
It's hard to justify it.
Two seats in section 116, like row S, $2,200 per ticket.
Right.
Per ticket.
Uh-huh.
Because of the fees are involved, I mean, it's pricey.
As of yesterday, like the worst seat was like $600.
Well, I think that has now escalated up to around $900 to $1,000. It's gotten even pricier. Right. The closer we get to puck drop tomorrow
night. Makes sense.
I think I might come to the Brig tomorrow night.
You will
come and then go to MGM afterwards.
I think that's a brilliant idea.
Meet us there.
You're right. I won't.
Yeah, I know you won't. You're more likely to go to Bonefish or Passion Fish.
No, I think I'm either going to watch it at my house or maybe go to my buddies. Won't be going anywhere. I won't be leaving Ashburn.
But you're right. I think it's hard to justify. I mean, there are tons of people who do it. But to justify spending $1,000 or $1,500 or $2,000 for a ticket.
Yes.
Especially if you have a kid that you're going to pay for college.
Right.
Which I'm doing right now.
Right. My daughter's going to the Kendrick Lamar concert tonight.
Nice.
So I think my wife's going to be chauffeuring a bunch of girls around.
He won the Pulitzer.
I might have to.
He won a Pulitzer.
I know he won a Pulitzer. It's crazy.
A rapper won a Pulitzer.
Yeah.
Kevin will be there.
Yeah. I won't say it. I might go with my wife and we drop the kids off, then we hang out like in a parking lot. Because like getting in and out of there can be a little hairy. It's gonna be a long night, man.
That's tonight?
Yeah, it's tonight.
Oof.
It's gonna be a long night.
Now these tease me a little bit with some of the performers. I need to know
who's performing like outside the arena.
Mm-mm.
So I guess for game three it's gonna be Sting and Shaggy.
Yeah. Right.
And then
Rare Essence.
And then before game four, it'll be Fallout Boy.
What?
Really?
Yes.
Cakes might show up.
That's kind of silly.
See, I told you they were going to try and match what Vegas was doing.
Yeah, but that's off camera.
Both concerts are free and open to the public.
Wow.
Does that mean Ted paid for Fallout Boy?
Sting's a pretty big name, too. You sleep a little bit on Sting.
No.
Real big.
They have sponsors.
NHL probably pays for him.
NHL pays for it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of like when OARs performed like at the World Series.
Right, right, right.
I mean,
why wouldn't
I go see Sugar We're Going Down live from Fallout Boy before the Caps game?
Right. It's kind of silly. Will they come to the bridge?
Is Mike Rizzo going to be there for his intro?
I don't know.
Was it a live intro?
This is very dumb.
Those are some pretty big guns that they're breaking out for games three and four. I like it.
We'll just hope they have the scoring guns.
That would be nice, too.
All right, does anybody want to go on a record? I think they're going to split. I think they're going to split these next two.
I think they'll split as well.
Split? Jason?
Yeah, I think they'll split. I'm not sure if they'll win game three or four.
Don't ask.
All right, you don't have to predict.
In the cup final, why would I shake things up now?
You said the other day you felt confident about game two.
Doesn't mean I'm going to go on record and make a pick.
Hey, Drab, do you want to say on air your perception of Cakes when you happen to have 2 days off listening to the Junkies?
You're going to make me... take a dig
at him.
It's
just funny.
When I was listening on Tuesday,
moving.
I predicted when you guys were coming back from break when you were going to do the entertainment page, and I nailed it.
Right.
Because I was like, they've been talking to Caps for 2.5 hours. Mm-hmm. They just talked to Alan May. They need a break.
We're going
to
break it up.
I bet you they're going to do entertainment page right here, and sure enough, you did. But Cakes is so defensive. I don't notice it when I'm sitting in this room.
Yeah.
About everything or the Caps?
Oh, this was
after game one, and everything he said was, basically, Vegas are cheaters. They're liars.
they're
big scammers. Everything was bad luck for the Caps. Yeah. Every sentence that was somewhat positive for Vegas, Cakes chimed in.
If you even say something about NBC, about Doc Emrick, he says Joe B's better.
Yeah,
I know.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable.
Wow. And I love Joe
because
B.
Because he is. But, I mean, I'm just being honest.
He cannot help himself.
Yeah. The Caps are by one seed. Of course.
He does the same things with the Wizards.
Not as vociferously as he does with the Caps.
Begging for makeup calls from the previous series.
Yeah. Hold on. There was no begging.
In the Tampa series.
Stop begging. I was just proving a point that we were due a few makeup calls. There was no groveling.
Yeah.
And I agreed with you there.
The Tom Wilson hit, it wasn't even close.
Ultimately, you guys are right. He wasn't suspended.
Yeah, you were.
But it was close to a dirty play. But for Cakes, it wasn't even close to a dirty hit.
You know what it was? It was a late hit.
It was a big hit.
It was a late hit.
A big, slightly late hit.
It's happened all the time in the NHL.
If that had been a member of the Vegas Golden Knights, you would have been calling for
screaming bloody murder. But it wasn't. It was my guy.
By the way, we were on the right side of that.
I guarantee you, Cakes is going to jock like the opening ceremony that the Caps do.
No, I hope we have no ceremony.
Well, you know, Pat Sajak is announcing the starting lineup.
Okay, that's fine.
Is he really?
He's a diehard Caps fan.
That's a step down
from Michael Buffer.
He used to hang out at the Are they going to do, instead of, you know how Vegas would start with like the 30 teams and they would move, are they going to have like letters? It'll be Let's Go Caps.
Caps have been around since the 70s.
I like to solve the puzzle. Caps in six.
We don't need all those gimmicks. We don't need all the gimmickry and the trolls and the castles and the flaming arrows. We don't need that.
You just have a...
That's below us.
Cakes is going to be.
I wouldn't mind if they brought out Imagine Dragons again, though. I got a little bit of size for that.
The who? Who are these people you speak of?
They're Cakes is going to be so butthurt if we end up losing this series.
It'll be soul crushing. Yeah. By the way,
and you will never be able to speak kindly of the Golden Knights or but even Vegas.
He might boycott Vegas.
How many times has he said? How many times has he said the Caps have been around for over 20 years and they've been in
and
the
Vegas has been around for 5 minutes?
Yeah, he says that a lot.
I'm going to take that to my grave, especially if those stupid Golden Knights win the cup.
By the way, congratulations. Drab is now a new homeowner.
Yes.
Right. And he already said that his dog has torn up his hardwood floors already.
Already?
Well, that's what happens? But
can you, like, declaw the guy?
I tried. He just slides around. And he's gone to the bathroom in the house more times than I have.
Really?
This is a new one.
That's a disaster of a dog. The old dog had that problem.
It runs in the family.
Hey,
what about your wife?
Final reminder.
She makes the toilet?
The Brig tomorrow, Southeast D.C.
Yeah, I'll meet you there.
Viewing party.
Right.
Don't sleep on it. Let's go, Caps.
All right.
Got
to get out of here for Bish, Cake, CBL, JP. Grant and Danny coming up next on The Fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.